And the purpose of the prayer is test yourself to see if you're in the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Okay, where are our girls? Oh, okay. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, your plan is so overwhelming. Grace, faith, culminating in love, all centered around your Son. And Father, we pray that our study this morning we can exalt relationship with Christ. In His precious name we pray. Amen. In keeping with the theme of today, dealing with camp, I studied one day with the young people having Jesus Christ as your friend. And as I worked on it, I realized that I'd never really taught that here, having Jesus Christ as our friend. So let's spend a few moments this morning in looking at and understanding Jesus Christ as our friend. And improvise a little bit, change it a little bit for us. But friendship is a natural part of life. And so you have to consider yourself, ask yourself, young, middle age, older, who do you consider a friend? And why? Why is this person your friend? And what does it mean to be a good friend? You have a friend, but you also got to be a friend. Don't just judge them. Put yourself on that same value standard. Now, I told the young people that 10 years from now, let's say they're 16, 15, 16, 25, 27, that what they are and what they're going to be 10 years from now depends on two things. One, their attitude toward the Word of God and living in it. And two, who they pick as friends. Friends have a great influence on our lives. And I'm not talking about today Facebook friends. Oh, I have 100 friends. Oh, I got 200 friends. You have nothing. Just call them up and ask them to lend you $20 or $100 and see how many friends you have. See? So, in life you'll find as you get older, if you have 1 to 3 or 4 friends, you're rich. I mean really true friends. Just 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 that have passed the test of time. Or my closest friends I've had in 50 years, thick and thin. Now, what we want to look at now, though, is the greatest friend you can ever have, Jesus Christ. Now, let me start out by saying to you that not every believer is a friend of Jesus Christ. Many like to think they are, but here's the real question. Would Jesus Christ consider you his friend? In life, someone might say, boy, there goes Charlie Brown. I'm a good friend of his. So they go to Charlie Brown and say, do you know, whatever the name may be? Who? That's embarrassing. You claim that person's your friend, and they go, who, when your name is mentioned to them? It's rather embarrassing. So we have to ask yourself, would Jesus Christ consider you his friend? No one is automatically a friend of Jesus Christ. Eternal life? Absolutely. Be with him for eternity? Absolutely. But as far as your life here on earth, you're not automatically a friend of Jesus Christ. Gotta remember, friendship works both ways. Jesus Christ may be your friend, but does he consider you his friend? Let's start off with looking at two prominent verses before we move on. Proverbs 15:24. Proverbs 15:24. I did this at camp. It's not 15, it's 18. 18:24. Oh, I wish I had a pen up here. I'd change that right now. But anyway, It's Proverbs 18:24. A man of too many friends comes to ruin. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Now, what does it mean if you have too many friends, you come to ruin? You know what that means? When you depend on them, they're not there. And you're without them. Friends are valuable in the Christian life, in life itself. Whether you're Christian or non-Christian, friends are valuable. They're valuable in good times and in bad times. My definition, a common definition of a friend, when everyone else is leaving you out the front door, the true friend is coming through the back door. True friend will see you through it. But if you depend on too many, you're going to come to ruin. You're going to sit there alone, desperate, depressed, thinking of suicide. So you're going to come to ruin. But it says there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Ultimately, Jesus Christ. But even in life, pick a friend. I have many friends, not many, I have a few friends, much closer than my real brother. Much closer. They stick with you. They're like-minded with you about Jesus Christ and these things. Now let's turn to Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27, 17. Iron sharpens iron. So, one man sharpens another. Just a common principle. Iron sharpens iron. And I pointed out, you pick friends who don't respect the teacher, don't care about doing homework. Guess where you're going to be in a couple of weeks? You're not going to want to do homework. You're not going to respect teachers. You got friends who don't respect parents. You're not going to respect yours after a while. You pick friends that don't respect police. Guess where you're going to be in a couple of weeks, a couple of months after that friendship? Or you pick a friend who understands these principles of authority, understands where Jesus Christ fits in, where the church fits in, and that will sharpen you. Now let's go to our study, though, in dealing with Jesus Christ. John chapter 15. The Gospel of John 15. Verse 14 and 15. You are my friends if, conditional, if you do what I command you. What does he command us? Faith and love. Stay in the context. The context of the commandments, faith and love. No longer do I call you slaves, for a slave doesn't know what his master is doing. I call you friends, because all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. In a few moments, we'll take up one of the principles of being a friend, and that's wanting to know what the Father has shown him, what is important to him. That's what we're going to see. Now, very quickly, don't misunderstand this verse. This does not mean that obedience makes you a friend of Christ, as if we earn his friendship. This describes what Jesus' friends will do automatically. Not to be his friend, but because they're his friend, these are things they're going to do. Moses, Abraham, Lazarus, all understood, all considered in the Word of God as God's friends. John the Baptist, friend. Now let's look at John 14, verse 21. John 14:21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, two commandments, faith and love, and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. I think one of the most difficult things for me as a teacher, and this happened at camp, is to teach people about love. Well, he loves everybody. God loves it. No. This says, if you do these things, he'll come in and abide with you and disclose himself. See? He will be loved by my Father. Well, doesn't the Father love everyone in a different ways? He loves the unbelieving world in that he gave his Son. He loves believers who are in Christ. He loves with a different caliber or level of love those who keep the commandments, faith and love. It's very important, people. It's a difficult thing for me to convey. But this isn't going to happen. Jesus Christ and God the Father are not going to come in and disclose themselves to you if you don't want them. You're a believer in Christ. You come to church every now and then. But you don't really have him as a friend. Why would he disclose himself to you? I told these young people, one thing you're going to learn is you're going to get burned by people that you thought were your friends, and that's good. That's a learning process. Pick your friends with wisdom. And be careful with those who consider your friend. Don't tell them all the intimate things of your life. Only a true friend will guard those things. The others will go and tell other people. They'll be quick to tell other people. They'll be slow to tell other people, but they'll tell other people what they know about you, what you've shared with them. You've got to be very careful. You disclose yourself to those you can trust. So look at John 14:21 again. He who has my commandments and keeps them in his life is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Jesus Christ does not disclose himself to every person. See, this is the difference. This is a crude example. It's the difference between a prostitute or a loose woman. She exposes herself to anyone and everyone. A wife, supposedly, is very, very exclusive. Just one person that she will expose herself to. She trusts him. And that's the way it is with Christ, people. He's not going to come in and fellowship. He doesn't want to fellowship with somebody that doesn't truly love him. Why would he want to waste his time? That's why I love the story of Jesus and the woman at the well. He spent 2 days not planning on staying with her town. She went into the town and witnessed to them about Jesus Christ. They all came out. He was so overwhelmed by them, he stayed 2 extra days, unplanned. Now, omniscience knew it, but as far as his plans were concerned, he spent 2 extra days. You do that with people that you can trust. If you want Jesus Christ to come in and to disclose himself to you, you've got to do the things that he wants, love and faith, faith and love. Being a friend of Jesus Christ is hearing him say, don't be afraid, fear not, and believe it. If we had time, we'd go through the Gospels. I'd show you time after time, fear not, fear not, fear not. He's walking on water. That's pretty frightening. Somebody doing what you know you are able to do. He said, fear not. Resurrection. He's supposed to be in the grave, and there he stands in front of us. Fear not. And as you go through life, you'll hear him say, fear not. I'm in control. I've overcome the world. I'll take care of you. That's what a true friend will begin to do. If we walk long enough with Jesus Christ as a friend, he will reveal himself in newer ways, deeper ways, sometimes fearful ways. Don't be afraid of your journey with your friend Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ is your friend, you are certain that there is someone in your life who understands your struggles, your frailties, your fears, your hurts, your desires. Someone will always be there that does that. As we come closer to being a friend of Jesus Christ, we get to know Him better and deeper through His Word. Through His Word. To have a friend in life, I pointed out, you've got to spend time with that person. You've got to go here, or you can be with your friend. Be my friend. That's what I want to do. I just want to be my friend. This book is your friendship with Christ. Don't claim He's your friend if you don't love this book. Don't claim someone is your friend if you'd rather be with somebody else. This book is your friendship with Christ. Every day, you should spend some time in this book learning about Him, who and what He is. You will find Him misunderstood, I told them, by their teachers, other friends, even in your own family. But is He still going to be your friend? When the world runs Him down, rejects Him, maligns Him, is He still going to be your friend? Or are you going to give in and walk away from Him? When Jesus is your friend, you know that He will not cease being your friend because of your failures. We cannot earn more of His love with good behavior. We do not lose His love with failure. I'm sorry, but some of you will fail. In fact, I told them, some of you, 10 years from today, will not be walking with Jesus Christ. You won't care about Him. You'll be in the world. You'll be in fun. You'll be in misery. You'll be in sin. And I'm sorry, but that's just a fact. Only some of you will still be close to Christ 10 years from now. See? So, I understand being a friend of Christ, like being a friend of people in life, demands your time and demands decisions. Now, we have just a few minutes left. Let's take up some points, if you're a point taker. Point one, a friend of Jesus is one who values His presence above all else. And this takes time to come to this point. Case in point, Moses, called a friend of God in the Word of God. Moses had spent the last 40 days alone with God. He came down from those wonderful days with God, and there are all the people. Idolatry, licentiousness, unbelievable sinning. Moses got so upset, he threw the Ten Commandments that God had just given him, threw it down on the ground. He was totally disgusted with them. So was God. If you read the Exodus account, if it wasn't for Moses, God would have destroyed that generation. Now, what happened was this. God said, all right, I'll let them live. They're going to be led on by an angel. I'm not going with them. They'll be led by an angel. You know, Moses said, I'm not moving then. If you don't go with me, I'm not moving. I'm not moving without your presence. God was struck by that. And so God went with him in the cloud and by the fire at night. So Moses refused to accept a proposition where he goes on through life without Jesus Christ with him. So Exodus 33:15 is a good verse in that area. This is what Moses did. Now, the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh to a friend. Exodus 33:11. That's a powerful phrase. The Lord spoke unto Moses face to face, so we know it's the second member of the Godhead, as a friend, as a man speaketh unto his friends. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. People, if you really want Jesus Christ as your friend, you want his presence. Now, this is important. When you live in sin, he's not there. So you can't live in sin and say he's your friend. That's one of the great problems with certain lifestyles. Homosexuality, adultery, promiscuity, living a life of sin and trying to claim Christ as your friend. It doesn't happen. He's not that kind of a friend. He gives you the freedom. You don't want to be my friend? You want to live that lifestyle? Go at it. But don't take me along with you. If you want to go along with me, you go along in this way. The way that I can be your friend. That's the issue. Now, I want to share with you something that few people are aware of about this Moses. When Moses was forced to flee from Egypt for murder, he ends up in Midian, at the home of a priest in Midian, Jethro, who will become his father-in-law. The family name of Jethro is Reuel, R-E-U-E-L, Exodus chapter 2, verse 18. You know what that means? El means God. Reuel, friend. Friend of God. Friend of God. The years spent working for Jethro, priest of Midian, were formidable in the life of Moses and his understanding of God. Moses was able to do what he was called only to do only once he developed that true friendship with God. And then, for the next 40 years, he walked with God and God walked with him as a friend of God. So part one, want to be a friend of God? Demand his presence. Demand his presence by the way you think, by the way you live. Secondly, a friend of Jesus Christ is one who lives by faith. Abraham. Turn with me to James 2. James 2. James 2, 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned, imputed to him as righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Faith, righteousness. Hebrews 11:6, let me just read it to you for the sake of time. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of him who seek him. It is by faith that we please God. So if you want to please Christ, pleasing the Father, you live by faith, if you want him as your friend. Abraham called a friend of God. 2 Chronicles 20:7. Says, did you not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of the land before your people Israel and give it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? That's just amazing. Whatever the epitaph on your tombstone, how wonderful it would be, a friend of God. And God's friend. Isaiah 41:8. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, descendants of Abraham, my friend. Only a few people are called the friend of God in the Scriptures. Romans 3. This one's powerful. A friend of Jesus is one who joyfully seeks His benefit. The advancement of Jesus Christ, His cause, His being, His doing. Look at John 3:29. Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 29. Friends of John the Baptist came to him. Hey! This man Jesus is baptizing more people than you are, which he was not. He did not baptize anyone. And he has more followers than you do. John just smiled and said, you don't understand. I'm his friend. He's my friend. I want him to advance. I'm here to advance him. John 3:29, he who has the bride is the bridegroom. He's the winner. But the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made full. When Jesus Christ is your friend, you'll learn it's not about you. It's not about people recognizing you. It's about Jesus Christ. And if they recognize Him, you rejoice. You rejoice. A true friend wants you to be happy, to have inner happiness. Jesus Christ wants you to have this happiness. John 15:11. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy which is in you may be made full. The great issue here is, what things? The book. The Word of God. That's where we have the things that Jesus Christ wants us to know that will make us happy. Give you full. The word full, you have happiness. You're full. Your full happiness is as you continue to grow in the Word of God. I'm 76 and I haven't reached full happiness yet. Every day, every week, my happiness increases as I spend time in this book. That's why I love to study the Word. I am so thankful. I don't want this to get out. Please do not let this get out. But I'd pay you to let me teach you. See? That you let me do this is an unbelievable privilege. That I get to just sit in my study, study His Word, increasing in joy every day in my life. So, how do you have the joy of Christ in you? You have to know all that Christ has spoken. You have to know all that He's given to us in His Word. When some bad things start happening in your life, and they will, maybe divorce, I pray not. Maybe cancer, I pray not. Disaster, death of someone. Maybe you'll reach the point, and I told them. I said, at some point, I told them this the first day where we studied Christ as your Savior. You'll reach some point in your life, you'll doubt whether or not you're really saved. Did you do enough? Are you really saved? And when these thoughts start coming to you, steal away. And just think about Jesus Christ. Think about what He did on the cross. Maybe take some notes. Write down some things. And I promise you, in the power of the Spirit, less than 5 minutes, your fears and your thoughts that you're not saved will vanish. Because you'll come to the realization it wasn't you that saved you. It was Jesus Christ that saved you. And He does not undo what He's done for you. So, Jesus Christ is your friend when you want Him to be everything in your life. Romans 4. A friend of Jesus will carefully guard his relationship with his friend, Jesus Christ, and not the world. Look at James 4, very important passage. Pray every one of you look at James 4 now in this. James 4. You cannot have Jesus Christ as your friend and be a friend of the world. I'm sorry, it is not going to happen. James 4:4, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You can't have both. You cannot be a friend of the world and a friend of Jesus Christ. It isn't going to happen. You cannot make the world's standards your standards. The world's view of worth, financial, beauty, all these success, and have your image in Christ at the same time. It's just not going to be done, people. So you got to make up your mind. Do you want the world or do you want Christ as your friend? It's that simple. Am I a friend of the world or a friend of Christ? Review your schedule. Review your priorities. They will tell you. They will tell you where your friend. Is it church? Is it the Word of God? Or is it the world? And the world may be your friends, your family, associates. You have to make up your mind where you stand with Jesus Christ. 5. A friend of Jesus Christ understands that he or she has been made privy to special information and desires it, guards it, and shares it. Studying the Word of God. Value this book. One of the days I spent time showing them, you can't have the Bible over here and your world over here. Over here's your morality. Over here's your Bible. Over here's your politics. Over here's your Bible. Over here's your sociology. Over here's your Bible. It doesn't work that way. Don't divorce the book from your life. This is what Christ has given us. Value it. This is what a friend has given you. And when a friend gives you, writes you a letter, you value it. If you love them, you read it over and over and over. This book is your friendship with Jesus Christ. So you come to the question, is this book a priority in your life? And only you can answer it. You can lie to yourself, but your time will tell you. Roman numeral 6. Being a friend of Jesus Christ is enjoying those who also seek to be friends with Jesus Christ. Understand that? If you have friends that do not value Christ, guess what? You'll reach a point where you don't. I don't need to go to class on Sunday. I don't need to go to class on Tuesday, on Sunday or Wednesday. I don't need that. I'm over here with my friends, my buddies, eating pizza and all this kind of stuff. See? No, you pick friends who love the Lord. That's what you pick. Then I close with Roman numeral 7 with 4 characteristics of being a friend of Jesus Christ. 4 characteristics. 1, walk in the Holy Spirit by faith in Jesus Christ. Walk by the Holy Spirit by faith in Jesus Christ. 2, increasing in the knowledge of God, Colossians 1:10, growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. 3, love one another. Spiritual love. Loving those who love the Lord. I shared with them. I waited 67 years. I met a woman, and I was so impressed with her as my friend. Not sexually, my friend. Enjoyment. Enjoyment of Christ, enjoyment of the Word, enjoyment of life. And I told them, if you don't marry your friend, I feel sorry for you. Many divorces occur because people married out of infatuation, lust, a lot of wrong reasons. Get time enough to know this person's a friend. Your friend. A friend you want to be with the rest of your life. That's how you have a friendship with Christ. And then four, enjoy telling others about your friend, Jesus Christ. Enjoy telling others about your friend, Jesus Christ. Now, in closing, I'd like you to look at 1 Peter with me. 1 Peter, chapter 3. 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. That's making him your friend. Always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. Do this with gentleness and reverence. What's the context, though? When would you need to give a defense? When would you need? This is where we get the word apologetics. Is this word here in this verse? When would you need to do that? Look at verse 14. But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. Not suffering for sin, but for righteousness, because you made your stand with Christ. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. And we spent time. I said, let me tell you something, young people. The world can intimidate you. That's why a lot of pastors and denominations now will ordain homosexuals, which the Word of God calls an abomination. Will ordain women, which I'm sorry, is not according to the Word of God. But it's so powerful. And I told them, your society, I am thankful to my God I'm not a teenager like you. And when I was your age, the big deal was never drugs, not sex as it is today, not alcohol, not pornography, not X-rated movies. The big deal when I was your age in high school, he had a beer. Whoa, he had a beer. That was the big deal. The things you have to put up with are unbelievable. Don't be intimidated. Don't be intimidated. Well, I've got to think this way. I've got to think that way. Or I won't get along. I won't be liked. I won't be accepted. Don't be intimidated. Don't be troubled. You've got to make up your mind. Is Jesus Christ your friend? Or is the world your friend? And when they say, why do you feel that way? What's your secret? Why do you love the way you do? Why do you forgive 7 times 7? Why do you make your stand that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation, not Muhammad, not Buddha, not some other way? And you turn to John 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There's your defense. They won't always like it, and they will not always agree. That's not the point. Our responsibility is to be able to make defense, to make a statement, why we believe what we believe. You've got to know this book. You've got to live in this book. And when you say something on the moral issue, political issue, social issue, can you back it up in Scripture? Can you say, here it is. Let me show you why I believe what I believe. Let me show you why I do what I do, why I don't do what I don't do. So let's just close reading 1 Peter 3, 14 and 15 one more time. But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, and suffer means suffer from society. I read every morning the history of the church. There is not a morning that somewhere in church history, someone or some people have not been martyred. It's just amazing. The history of the church is martyrdom. See? It happens. And the more I read it, the more I'm just overwhelmed with the genius of the First Amendment to our Constitution. You can't imagine what went on in Massachusetts. If you were Anabaptist, baptizing of children, if you were this, if you were that, you were ostracized, killed in some cases. It's just amazing when they put the First Amendment in. And then, of course, the Second and Third. So, but even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. Do not fear their intimidation. Do not be troubled. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, as your friend. Always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it is our desire to have Christ as our friend and to be a friend of His. We know, Father, this will demand time each day in our lives. This will demand decision making. That's not popular in the world today. But Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ is our friend. I pray, Father, Your Spirit can use the things we've seen this morning to the honor and glory of Christ. In His precious name we pray. Amen.